All right. Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good to see all of y'all here. We are in the book of Malachi, the book of Malachi. Not the book of Kalachi, the book of Malachi. No, Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. And I just a couple of announcements. Camp is not canceled right as of right now. Camp is not canceled. Camp is still happening. We'll know more about that this week. Should know more about it this week, but camp is not canceled yet. We have the first week of June, and we'll, like I said, find out more about that this week. But so far, plans are still according to plan there. And men's group is 5 o'clock Wednesday, 5 p.m. Wednesday. So 5 p.m. Wednesday. And Malachi chapter 2. Give you a little time to find Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. If you go to the book of Matthew and you go back one book, you are in the book of Malachi. 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 I gotta say this. Some of the precautions and things that are being taken. I'm very pleased to announce the coronavirus can only travel 6 feet, and then it dies. Apparently, I gotta say some of this stuff. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. So the verses we're looking at this evening, the Lord is the last thing he has to say to the nation of Israel before he shows up, before the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. And in this section, he's dealing with their relationships. He deals with divorce. He deals with adultery. He deals with fornication. He deals with just the carnality going on among the people, and how that is the culture of not a godly culture. It's a false god, a strange god. And so Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, the subject. The title is Disposable Relationships. That's kind of what you get into when you start people move away from God, the things that God finds important and that God created, like marriage and things like that. As people move away from God, those things that God created become very much less important, particularly the relationships become much less important or just less godly. So Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done, again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. So this is God describing his attitude toward the people's offerings. Verse 14, yet ye say, wherefore? So they say, why? What are you talking about? And the Lord answers, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Treacherously, that's the word he uses. Now, we're going to deal with divorce, we're going to deal with marriage, we're going to deal with adultery, we're going to deal with fornication and all this, because that's what he's dealing with. And he's talking about the spirit of the people's wrong, they're carnal. This is a reflection in their behavior. Their spirit's wrong, and it's reflected in their behavior and their culture and reflected in their relationships. And so they've become, these marriages are really kind of disposable. You can get married, you can have a no-fault divorce, you can just quit if you get tired of it and then find somebody else. And so here's what God, here's the definition, or here's the word God uses to describe that activity. He says, you're treacherous. And here's why he says that. When two people get married, and we'll pray after we say this, I'll just describe to you why he uses this word. When two people get married, you know, you got a ceremony generally, and they vow before God and everybody that they're going to love and take care of and all that stuff before God and everybody, that this is how I'm going to treat you through bad times, through good. I'm so committed to the relationship. This is my promise to you. And the Lord says, I've been a witness to that. You called me in on the ceremony. I've been a witness to this. And so after one person, I don't know, maybe it's through some kind of work relationship or whatever, but after there's some trouble in the marriage, and so the person, one of the parties decides that these vows they made aren't really worth it. And so they go find somebody else and decide they're going to start another relationship with somebody else. And so the Lord uses the word treacherous because if he can't trust someone who has vowed before God and everybody all of these things, how is that person going to treat someone who they've never made a vow to? And so it's a dangerous person. I mean, well, we'll get to David and the whole situation is just, it's, as he uses the word, it's just treacherous. So he deals with this. He deals with these disposable kind of relationships, and it's just what's the word? It's just an illustration or a. The way the culture is becoming more and more godless, and God's dealing with Israel this way. So let's pray. We're going to talk about these disposable relationships and maybe how that is something we need to discuss here. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us. These kinds of relationships are so common now. No doubt, somebody listening has been divorced once or twice or three times or whatever the case may be. Somebody listening may be shacking up with somebody else. It's just so common. And people don't really think anything of it. And you have something to say about this. And so I pray that you'd help us get through this and not to pile guilt on people that can't do anything about the former situations or history in their life, but going forward, understand that these are your sentiments about this. This is your feelings about these things, and I pray that it would come through. We pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say this stuff the right way, and that it would be understood and we could apply it the way we need to apply it and all this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. So verses 11, 12, and 13, the Lord deals with Judah, Israel, the nation, the culture of the nation is such that by the time the Lord Jesus Christ shows up 400 years later, he's dealing with things like we mentioned before, the no-fault divorce thing. Just, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So you just find somebody else. It might work out, it might not. And so you make these vows along the way in your lifetime to these people. And people make vows to each other, and then they just break the vow because their emotions are so pulled in a different direction, and really God doesn't have any kind of, he's not really considered in the thing. And so, or maybe he is, and sometimes, you know, when marriages break up and things like that, there can be people who are victims and all that stuff, but the Lord is just describing the culture, and he says, you have gone after a strange God. And the point is, in verse 11, the strange God is, this is not a culture that God created. This is a culture that belongs to some other spirit. It belongs to something else. And it's not a godly behavior or way of living life, or these aren't godly relationships. This is something else. This is a worldly false god influence that encourages, or that people make these decisions under, where they live together, they try it out, they get married, they get divorced, they try another one. It's just the relationships become completely disposable, and that's not God. That was never God's plan. I tell you, just and I think you understand this, the easier people make it to get out of a marriage, the harder that culture makes it to have a good marriage. If it's easy to just move from relationship to relationship, it's almost impossible to have a good marriage. Because a good marriage means people have resolve and they have dedication and they want to be with each other and make things work, and they work out their differences. They don't break up when they have differences. They don't seek out other companions. They want to make it work. And I heard another preacher say it this way. If you really believed that you had one shot at marriage, if people really believed that, guaranteed they would try a lot harder to make it work. If you thought, I have one shot, or they wouldn't be so hasty to jump into relationships. They'd be really careful about who they're going to make these commitments to. And if you really believed, I've got one shot at this, you know what that'll do? That will strengthen relationships. But if you say, you know what, if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. You know what that does? That just tears the relationships down. They have no meaning anymore. So that's what God's addressing. And he says, you guys have gone after Israel, Judah, you've gone after strange gods. You're following these influences, these devils, it's just pleasure. It's just pleasure seeking from one thing to another. Here's one of the common thoughts today. You might hear that we just love each other. We just, you know, we're gonna move in together, and I just love him, and he loves me, and we're just gonna, you know, try to make this work, and we'll see how it works out, and we just love each other. Let me show you a verse in the Bible. People confuse fornication with love. Fornication isn't love, and I would venture to say, after having been married now almost 20 years, it's marriage is the basis to learn love. You learn love in that relationship, and if people start off saying, "Well, we're getting married because we love each other," You probably love each other as much as you think you do, but you're going to find out you don't really know what love is until you start, you know, hitting some speed bumps and enjoying things together, growing old together, things like that. You start learning what love really is. So the world has the idea that my emotions towards someone are love. And here's what I told you to go to Ephesians. I think I did. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. The world has the idea that fornication is love. We live together because we're in love. No, you're not in love. You're in lust right now is what you're in. That's where you're at. You're in lust right now. You're not in love. So here's how this is divided up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Now watch the difference that's made here. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love. Okay? Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So that's the definition of love. It can be measured by a sacrifice. So he says, walk in love. Now watch verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So the Bible makes a clear difference between love that is sacrificial in nature and fornication that is basically selfish in nature. It's just pleasure. It's just trying to please myself. And so you've got walk in love in verse 2. And then he says, but fornication, don't talk about it. So I show you that verse to show you the world's definition. The world has a definition of love and romance, and you know, we end up in living together and all that stuff because we're in love. You're not in love. You're in lust. You're in fornication. That won't last. That'll burn out. And so then what? The point is that's not love. That is characteristic of these disposable relationships. All right, let's go back to Malachi. Let's look at a couple things. So the people had joined themselves to idols in verse 11, and this is the result. Their behavior is such that it's just following these devils and following pleasures and things like that. But he says in verse 11, Judah hath dealt treacherously, an abomination. Notice how he characterizes all this. It's an abomination. It's profanity against the holiness of God. He says, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Then look in verse 12. So the Lord says people have joined themselves to idols. Verse 12, God, he's no respecter of persons. God doesn't care who it is among them, whether they're wealthy or poor, doesn't really make any difference, whether they're politicians, whether they're business owners, doesn't matter. So it says in verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master, the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Isn't that pretty wild there? So he says, the master, the scholar, it doesn't really matter who they are. God's going to cut them off. They're following a strange god. And then he says at the end of this, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. So in the midst of all this, they're offering offerings to God like, hey, we're still on your side, we're still on your team and all that. It would be like this. Just imagine this. It would be like this. Two people are married, and say husband or wife, pick one, goes and during the day and in the evening after work, the husband or the wife, just say the husband. The husband goes and sees another woman, and then he comes home to his wife and he says, "But I love you. I still love you." And you understand to the wife now, those words don't mean anything anymore. They don't have any meaning now, because your behavior shows different than what you're saying. So as long as he's participating in this behavior, he can come home and say, I love you, as much as he wants to, but she's not listening to that. That has no meaning now. That's what God's saying. You come to the altar and you say, I love you, I love you, after you've been with these other lovers, so your words to me don't have any meaning. And that's what he's saying. Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master, the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. So they're still coming to the Lord and offering these offerings. Look in verse 13 now. They're devoted, but they're adulterous. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. That's God saying, I am no longer interested in your offerings. I do not care. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the wife or the husband who's dealing with the spouse who keeps coming home after seeing someone else and bringing home a gift or bringing home some nice thing. Well, were you out with that other woman? Well, yeah, we were out. Well, did you spent the night? Oh, yeah, we did that. But I brought you this. She doesn't want that. She's not interested in that. So this is the Lord. This is what the Lord says. He says, I'm not interested in your offerings. I'm just not. If you're not interested in getting this behavior corrected, I'm not interested in you saying you love me. I'm not interested in you bringing offerings. I just you know what? This relationship is broken. So he says they come to the altar. They're weeping. They're crying. He says, in so much that he regards not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill. That's the attitude of the Lord. He's not going to receive it with goodwill at your hand, just like the wife isn't going to receive the offering of goodwill. I mean, if this behavior is going on in the marriage, she isn't going to receive the gifts with goodwill. She's going to say, probably take the gift and throw it in his face. So that's the situation that you're in there. And he said, these are treacherous, these are treacherous people. And so God's not interested in the offerings. Now let's look in verse 14. Because they ask, after all of this, Israel says, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? That's what happens when some adulterer or adulteress gets caught. What are you talking about? How dare you accuse me of that? So watch what he says, verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Like what? What do you mean we've done this? And then he says this, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Hey, you remember that marriage ceremony where you called me into that thing? And you said, I before God swear my life and all this stuff. You remember when you did that? Okay. Remember when you did that? Okay, well, I'm a witness now of this relationship. Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So here is the treacherous nature of this. So in the marriage ceremony, a person vows before God, and the Lord has been witness, he says, between thee and the wife of thy youth, of what they're going to do and endure to honor this relationship, you know, for richer, for poorer, for good health, bad health, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I vow my life because for the sake of this relationship is that important to me. And God says, I was there. You asked me to be there. I was there. I witnessed it. And then when things, I don't know, you got tired of it, you got a little, you know, it just wasn't what you thought it was. You got, your flesh wasn't getting satisfied like you wanted it to. And so you kind of got tired of it. You started looking and you had some trouble at the house and you all got in some arguments. And so you stayed a little bit later with the secretary at the job and all that kind of stuff. And y'all were kind of making jokes and kind of laughing with each other, and it got a little flirty and all that kind of stuff, and one thing led to another, and now you found that these vows you made before God didn't really hold up. So here's what the Lord says. He says, if you're willing to treat someone that way after you have vowed before God and everybody else watching, God forbid when you get into a relationship or with anyone else who you've never made a vow to. I mean, you're just untrustworthy. What he says in Romans, he says they're covenant breakers. They make these covenants and they just willy-nilly break them. So he said that's why he uses the word treacherous. Someone who would vow a vow for God, then dismiss that vow because they wanted to. But here's what he also said. The people would believe once they've dismissed that vow, once they got a judge to say the marriage is there's a divorce, and they get the piece of paper, and so you got this. Marriage is now relegated to a piece of paper, which I've heard people say. I mean, why should I get married? It's just a piece of paper. You understand that that's a product of all of this. Marriage is much more than a piece of paper. Much more than a piece of paper. And if you think that way, you are a product of this kind of culture and this kind of thinking. It's where these relationships, I mean, it doesn't really have any meaning anymore. And so here's what the Lord says. You dismiss this relationship. You find a judge that's willing to just sign off on a divorce. And in your eyes, the relationship's done. But God says, no, the relationship's not done. You made a promise. I still remember the promise. Do you remember the promise? I remember the promise. So God looks down on it, and Jesus Christ shows up, and he says, wherefore what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. And so man tries to find a man to put the thing asunder, to break the thing up. And God says, no, it's not done. All you're doing is creating adulterers. You think the marriage is dissolved. It's not dissolved. You made a vow. Y'all got together. Y'all have children now or whatever. It's not dissolved. It may be dissolved in the court system, but it's not dissolved in my book. That's God talking. And so that's what he says. Yet she's the wife of thy youth. She's still your wife. And so the Lord, when Jesus Christ shows up, he's going to say, look, there's... If there's fornication in the marriage, then that breaks it up. But other than that, we can deal with a couple others, but I'm gonna leave it there right now. When he says if there's fornication in the marriage, that breaks the marriage. But other than that, if you just write a bill of divorce, when you go down to the judge and say, yeah, we're getting a divorce, and he says, all right, I'll sign off on that divorce, and you go find somebody else and marry somebody else, he says, you're all adulterers. That's all you are. You're just adulterers. And you're treacherous. You're untrustworthy. Here's what treachery means. Here's a definition for it. I should have read this earlier, but I'll read it now. Treachery, a violation of allegiance or of faith and confidence. The man who betrays his country in any manner violates his allegiance and is guilty of treachery. This is treason. The man who violates his faith pledged to his friend or betrays a trust in which a promise of fidelity is implied is guilty of treachery. So if someone who's willing to vow their life to someone else, and then through some whatever, hard times or whatever, decide, you know what, I'm kind of done with this. We'll go to the JP and get it, divorce signed off on, and make another run at it with somebody else or whatever. The Lord says you're untrustworthy. You can't be trusted with anything. So here's I'll read this one to you. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, probably a lot of you remember this. Do you remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? You know what that led to in David's life? So that leads to a child being born. David desperately trying to cover this thing up. So the adultery led to, what did it lead to? What happened to Uriah? He gets killed. So David becomes a murderer because of the adultery that he brought into this. There's no wonder God uses the word treacherous, because this stuff is dangerous. And when people start making such little of the relationships that God set up, if marriage becomes nothing more than a piece of paper, get it if you need to get it, don't get it if you don't need to get it, but you know, hey, try it all out and figure out what's good for you and what's good for them and all that stuff. And hey, we need to live together because the money, you know, it's cheaper to have one rent than two. it's... You know what's cheaper is not to sin. Stay away from sin. So David gets into this. He gets into adultery. That leads to murder. And I haven't asked any law enforcement about this or talked to anybody. I probably should have before I got up here and said this. But I would imagine of all the murders and domestic violence that takes place around the country, around here, you probably only have a couple of reasons that happens. It's either drugs, relationships. I imagine there's only a few things that would cause people to have that just visceral, emotional, just that mad. Relationships. So, y'all take them seriously. God takes it seriously. Told you about David. You understand about David. So here's what God says. Go to verse 15 here. We'll try to get to some of the good stuff, I guess. So the Lord says in verse 15, Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. And did not he make one? Anybody remember when God created Adam and Eve? Remember what he did? He said, the two shall be one. He just took two people, a male and a female, and he said, y'all are going to be one family unit. And out of you, you'll produce children, and that will be the basis for the family unit. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, verse 15, and wherefore one? So why did he make one out of two? That he might seek a godly seed. So you're going to have children. And the children hopefully serve the Lord, and you as a husband and you as a wife teach them to serve the Lord and all that. So he says that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed, watch this, take heed to your spirit. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So you got two being one. That's not just something Paul figured out in Ephesians. That's something in Genesis. That's something repeated here in Malachi. Two turned into one. They produce children. And then he says, you know, if you want to break this thing up, before you break this thing up, you need to consider your spirit. Take heed to thy spirit. He says this twice. Take heed to your spirit. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. You know, the Bible says this about marriage. It says marriage is honorable in all things. Marriage is the basis for, I would say, marriage is the basis for love. It teaches you how to love. Marriage provides companionship. And again, the easier you make it to divorce, the harder you make it to have a good marriage. The Lord looks for reconciliation, and I'm not dealing with, okay, yeah, there's some times you just can't do that, I understand, but we're not dealing with that right now. We're dealing with just what he's saying here in Malachi. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We don't have a whole lot more to look at, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, or I should say 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This is how God feels about the relationship that, and he's talking to husbands here. This is what he says. And it's the same thing he said over in Malachi. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So two turned into one, husband and wife. You have children, and both of you become parents. With that one child, both of you are now parents, and now you are heirs of the grace of life here. And then he says, that your prayers be not hindered. So he said all of that, and so here's what the Lord says. Basically, just like he's saying in Malachi. Husbands, if you aren't willing to get things right with your wife, quit coming to me and asking me for stuff, because I'm not interested. If you're not willing to get things right with your at home, I'm not interested. Get things right at home, then come to me. Get things right between your wife, and he's just dealing with husbands here. He says, get things right with your wife, treat your wife right, and then come to me. Don't treat your wife like garbage and then come to me and ask me for stuff or tell me, you know, how, you know, hey, I need wisdom, I need to discern, I need to learn, how do I handle this, and Lord, I need a better job and all this stuff. And the Lord's like, I'm not interested. Get things right with your wife and then come to me. That's what he just said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. You know what the Lord said in Malachi? If you aren't going to take this relationship seriously, here's what I think of your offerings that you bring to the altar. Not interested. Not interested in your offerings. Just kick them right off the altar. I'm not interested in your offerings. If you're not going to take this relationship seriously that you promised you would take seriously, I'm not interested in you bringing me gifts. If you're going to sleep around and then show back up and offer me a gift, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in you telling me how much you love me. Just not interested. The Lord says, get this right. This is an indication of a bad spirit. This isn't something you fell into. This isn't something that, this is an indication of a bad spirit, a spirit gone wrong. So he says it twice in Malachi. He says, look, take heed of your spirit. Take heed of it. Let's go back to Malachi and we'll finish this up. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. Malachi 2:16, it says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. You know what that is? That's divorce. That's the bill of divorcement. Someone writes it and says, I put away my wife. I'm done. He hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, here he says it again, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. He hates putting away. Here's a couple of things. I'll show you a couple of them in the New Testament. I'll read these to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Matthew 5:31, Jesus Christ says it this way. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. So the Jews' law at this time is a basically no-fault divorce. If you can get the paperwork right, then you're okay. In the court's eyes, we're okay. The relationship's dissolved. You can go find somebody else. But here's what the Lord says, but in verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. So the Lord says, okay, in your court's eyes, the judge's eyes, legally, in your culture, the relationship's dissolved. God says, in my culture, the relationship's still there, and now you've all just become adulterers. Pretty rough. The world says, as long as you get the paperwork right, you're legal. They say, as soon as I can get the paperwork finished for my divorce, we can go get married now. As soon as we get the paperwork done, as soon as I'm done with that, I can go sign some more paperwork and get married. So there are people who believe they're divorced because the court said so. And in God's eyes, you're not divorced, you're just an adulterer. That's what Jesus Christ just said. So the law, our laws have it. You know, the no-fault divorce, irreconcilable differences. We just can't make it work. And in so doing, they just multiplied the number of adulterers in the country, in the community, multiplied upon multiplied the number of adulterers, and marriage had descended into just a matter of paperwork. Just a matter of paperwork. And it's no wonder people say, and I've heard it said, why should I get married? It's just a piece of paper. You know why people say that? Because this is the culture they live in. This is what they live around. This is the disposable relationships that they've been indoctrinated with, and so it's no wonder that they have the ideas they have. I'll give you another one in Mark chapter 10 real quick. He says, "Take heed to your spirit." Mark chapter 10 verse 2. Mark 10:2 says, "And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him." So when you see those two words, tempting him, you know that they know the answer to the question. "And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, well, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation of God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." That's what he said in Malachi. That's what he said in Genesis. "So then they are no more twain, but one flesh." So before we, and I know this is probably rough and hard to swallow and all that kind of stuff, because everyone has dealt with this in some way. But you understand that the easier you make it to destroy, put it this way, the easier you make it to destroy a marriage, the harder you make it to have a good one. And having good marriages, that's God's plan, to have a good marriage. And so when the Lord says, look, Moses wrote that because you're hard-hearted. Before you jump on the bandwagon and say, see, well, you know, hey, divorce, it's okay to do this. Do you want your level of Christianity to be a bunch of lost, hard-hearted people? Is that the goal that we're shooting for? Hey, it's okay. You sound like a Pharisee. It's okay. It's okay. Moses said it. It's interesting. We are so good at, well, you know, that's for the Jews only, and that's for them only. But when things fit our doctrine, we'll run to the law to provide comfort to us when we want to do something and get away with something. Well, see, it's there. That's what the Pharisees said. See, it's there. And Jesus Christ said, well, it's only there because you're hard-hearted. That's rough. I'll give you another one here. And I'll try to wrap it up with two more verses. One in Matthew, one in Corinthians. Matthew chapter 19. Take heed to thy spirit. Take heed to thy spirit. These disposable relationships are a product of a bad spirit. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Skip down to verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, watch the disciples' reaction. They know exactly what he said. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. If this is going to put me in this position, then I'm just not going to get married. Now, that's not the right attitude, but that shows they understand exactly what he just said. Understand exactly what he just said. But he said unto them, verse 11, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it's given. There are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. That'd be like Paul. He just never got married, never had children, and so he just remained single and lived out his life serving God. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So the disciples understand exactly what he's saying. And they say, well, it's better to stay single then. I mean, if we're going to get stuck, it's better to stay single. Well, the disciples don't have the right attitude about it, but they do clearly understand what he just said. He said, if you're going to go around marrying and just writing bills of divorcement, then you're all adulterers. They understood that. They understood that. So, one more verse. Take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. You got a treacherous spirit. You want to make covenants with people. Don't know why you want to make covenants with people and then break the covenant that you've made with them or the promise you've made before God. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Here's the New Testament commentary and spiritual application to what you read in Malachi. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Remember that one he was talking about in Malachi? He's describing what taking heed to your spirit looks like. Verse 18, flee fornication. So here's the remedy for fornication. Real quick, I know we're going long on this, but there's a lot to deal with. And it's very applicable to where we're at. Flee fornication. So here's the remedy for fornication. Don't hang around it. Don't pray about it. Don't seek God's counsel on it. The remedy for fornication is what? Flee. Get away from it. Stay away from it. You're going to get burned by it. You don't have anything to pray about. You don't have anything to ask wisdom about. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth, verse 18, is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember what Malachi kept going back to? Take heed to your spirit, take heed to your spirit. All of these things, these are carnal problems that are the results of someone not taking heed to their spirit. So when the Lord gets on to Israel and Judah, I would say this stuff is pretty applicable to where we live today. And let me just wrap all this up to say this. If you've been divorced, if you've had experience with this stuff, the point in all of this is take heed to your spirit. You can't change the past. You can't do anything. When Jesus Christ met the woman at the well, he said, look, the man you're with now, he's not your husband. You had five husbands. What did he say to her? Look, go and sin no more. Don't keep reliving this. Learn from this and let's go forward in godliness. Let's take care of the relationship so we don't have these disposable relationships. So take heed to your spirit. Let's pray and we'll wrap this up. Father, I pray it's been helpful. There's so much in here and we covered a part of it, but probably pretty applicable. Our culture is this. It's exactly how you describe Israel and Judah. This is what we are. We are these people. And Lord, I pray you would help us. Help us as a church, help us as Christians, help us to be ambassadors, help us to take the things seriously that you take seriously. And I pray that you would, for those that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies, for those that are just maybe staying away, pray that you'd give them some peace of mind and just a lot of fear and all kinds of information and misinformation out there, but pray you teach us how to serve you in all this, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.